And we are continuing in our series, I'm a Christian, so now what? Right? I'm a Christian, now what? And so you'll see up there in just a moment that I actually asked the song purposefully to be sung Life Song by Casting Crowns. And so why? Because our life is to be a song of worship to Him, right? Worship is a lifestyle, right? It's not just music, right? It goes so far beyond that. And so I'm a Christian, and now it's time to sing. What do you mean? We already sang, right? But no, it's time for your life to be a song of joy, a song of contentment. That's hard sometimes, right? That's hard. But a song of fulfillment. You're singing about what God has done and what God is going to do. So today we're going to talk about two songs. We're going to talk about a song of Moses, and we're going to talk about a song from Isaiah. Isaiah will sing a song. Moses will sing a song. How many of you never knew Moses sang? All right, so Moses, he did sing, and this is his song that we're going to look at. And it's a song, when Moses sings, he sings a song of fulfillment. He sings a song of, isn't God amazing? Look at what He did. Isaiah, when he sings, I've seen prophetically into the future. Look at what God's gonna do. Look at what God's gonna do. So one is, I've seen it already, and now I'm praising God for it. The second is, I know God is going to do it, and so I'm having faith to believe it. I'm taking action steps in my life to believe it and to receive it and to have what God has for me. Because He has the miraculous plan for me. He has the supernatural in store for me. So we're going to look at both of those. You see, our lives can be lives filled with joy and God's power. God works, listen, church, God works through our faith and our obedience. And I would go even further. And He works in the atmosphere of expectation. I don't know if you felt it here, but there is an atmosphere of expectation, right? When we lifted hands and said, God, I want more of You. I want more of You, Holy Spirit. I want to be used in the giftings that You have, supernatural giftings. I want to be used by You. We are basically saying, we as a congregation, as a body of Christ, are coming together in expectation. That's different than me by myself going, God, I love You, right? That's different than me being in my own prayer closet and saying, God, I love You. Grow me, strengthen me. Help me. All that's really good. But there's something about going together as a church, as a body, and believing for the miraculous. Amen? That faith is tangible. And that faith is not just one individual. That faith is us coming together and believing God. Believing Him. That's how it works. So when I went on my mission trip, and I've gone on many of them, but when I go on a mission trip, I go, God, I want You to do some awesome things in my life. I want You to show up. And in fact, I even say some crazy prayers like, God, stretch me. Right? I remember I ate a Whoppani worm one time. That was a stretch, okay? I mean, Mom says eat your vegetables. There's a whole other thing when Mom says eat a worm, okay? She never told me to do that, but I even got a certificate for it right at the end of the day. I ate Impala. I didn't know you could eat cars, but man, you can, right? It was kind of hard, chewy a little bit, right? No, just joking. Okay, so going many places there. But so when I went on missions, I said, God, I want You to do awesome things. God, I want You to show up. And He healed. He saved. He filled with power. When I went to New Zealand, there was a man that was an evangelist, and he was like 21 years old. And God used him to raise the dead. The guy had a heart attack in the middle of a park, and the Holy Spirit told him, go to the park right now. There's a man that I want you to pray for. And so he wasn't planning on going to the park, but he heard the Holy Spirit, and so he walked towards the park, and this man is blue in the face. His heart had stopped beating. He was clinically dead, and he had been there for a while. And this young man was filled with the Holy Spirit. This young man believed in miracles, and this young man spoke to his dead body and said, "Rise from the dead." And he did. He started breathing. His pulse started back. He went to the doctor, and they said, "You should have no brain function anymore. There should be all kinds of damage up here," is what I'm saying. Because again, blood's not flowing there, right? There's all kinds of things from nurses that know these things, right? All the damage that would take place from hearts stopping and all that taking place. And he told that to my teenagers, and guess what happened to those teenagers? They were full of expectation. And in that same meeting, me and the evangelist went over to a kid that had asthma, and he said, we need to pray for this kid right over here. I was like, okay, let's pray for him. And we prayed for him, and he said, his name was Kenny, and he had a southern accent. He said, "Potter," he called me Potter, and he said, "Potter, I felt like there was fire in my throat, fire." And he said, "After you guys prayed for me, I just started running around, and I used to play baseball, and anytime I'd run from base to base, I'd get winded." He said, "I didn't get winded anymore." He said, "My asthma is gone." Hallelujah, right? Amen? Let's give him praise. Let's give the Lord glory. Because guess what? Praise him. Praise him, right? Sometimes, guys, we got to act, right? Sometimes, I know we're not like from a church that's like super shout out, okay? I understand that. I don't mind that, okay? But there is excitement that God wants to stir up inside of you. And sometimes that goes even against our own personality, right? But again, God wants to stir us up on the inside because he wants us to prep us for expectation. We want miracles to happen in this church. It's not going to be happening just by Pastor John, right? Fasting and praying and seeking and different things like that, right? It's going to be by an atmosphere of expectation. Les shared, he said when he wasn't, there was a time in his life where he had left the assemblies, he was going to different churches. And listen, I'm not here to tote the Assembly of God flag, but I am here to say that he said, "I want to feel the Holy Spirit's presence. I want to go to a church where I feel the presence of God." And so God brought him back to the Assemblies of God church for years on after too. But my point is here, not to say we're awesome, look at our big star. My point is that Mitchell Assembly should be a church where people feel the presence of God, not because we base on feelings and ushy-gushy, oh, I feel so emotional, it's so wonderful. No, because when you feel the Holy Spirit, when you have an expectation, that's the key. When you have an expectation of, "I want to meet with you, Jesus, and I want to come out of this place different. I want to come out of this place filled up. I want to come out of this place overflowing." So I'm getting together with a body of believers that knows the power of prayer, that knows the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to do miracles. Guess what? You know where the most powerful miracle could take place? Right on the street. Right? Your friend has just said, "Bleep and bleep and bleep," and you say, "Okay, friend, can I pray for you?" "Okay, well, whatever." And they're like, "Whoa, something happened." Yeah, that's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. Right? God wants to do something here, and I think there's something about, again, healings happening here, miracles happening here. We haven't had miracles for a little while, right? I'm just being honest, right? It's been a while. I remember that when we prayed for... when we prayed for our sister, Marty Lee. Remember that? Who remembers that? So we're in the congregation, right? And she came up for prayer for healing. And then we went back to our seats and I was preaching. At the end, she said she felt like just heat in her boot. She had broke her ankle, right? She had even had x-rays to prove it, right? And she felt like just heat all in her boot. And so she took off her boot. and she starts walking on it. She starts jumping up and down. I didn't tell her to do this, right? It was the Holy Spirit. She starts jumping up and down in the back, and I'm like, either we just hired a cheerleader, because normally we don't do this, right? And again, you can do it. Don't pay off, you know, unless you're trying to get attention on you versus on Jesus. But she's like, woo, and I'm like, Marty Lee, come on up, right? And she said, God just healed my leg. And what did I tell her? I said, go to the doctor, get an x-ray done, and show him. You know what the doctor said when she got it done? Oh, the first x-ray must have been a mistake. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. And we came from worms, too. That, or a bunch of goop, primordial goop. That makes a lot of sense, too. Well, that's really good. I mean, it's just like a leap, because he didn't believe. He was leaping towards they did wrong. And she could show him the difference of the two, right? God is no respecter of persons, whether it's Marty Lee, or it's you, or it's me, or it's our friend, or it's this lost person, right? God did it, right? Do you want to see more of that? I want to see more of that. Guess what? Pastor John and you and me together, we believe, and God activates that. And he activates that spirit of expectation, and he moves upon us, right? He wants us to believe for miracles. He wants us to believe. How desperate are you for God? This is not condemnation, okay? I want you to hear me out. How desperate are you for God? If you come to church and you're like, it'd be nice if the church would, you know, I'm not getting fed, or, you know, I didn't like that song, or, you know, I talked about this. I'm a man. I'm a man. Don't talk about that when we sing. Or have you come to say, I'm all in. I don't care if this song is my favorite, or I don't care if I hate this song. Please don't hate any of our songs, okay? But I'm going to dive in. Like, I'm going to get so passionate for Jesus, and I'm going to take every ounce of this worship song, this hymn, whatever it is, and I'm going to worship my guts out. Now, I don't want to see that, but you know what I'm saying? And so you're going to give your all to worship him with everything that's inside of you. How hungry are you when you come to Mitchell Assembly of God? I'm hungry. I had a little muffin for breakfast. It's been a while. No, I'm spiritually hungry, right? Are you spiritually hungry? Do you want to see things happen? Because it's going to be by a spirit of expectation. It's going to be by our faith coming together and working towards what God wants to do. He uses us, right? He just doesn't do things. His mode of operandi is using me and you, right? Is using me and you to do the supernatural. But he's waiting on us. He's expecting us. In this new year, 2020, what ways is God going to create miracles to share with the lost? Raise your hand if you've ever shared that story about Marty Lee with somebody else outside the church. Never? Never? That saddens me. I mean, my heart's beating hard. I was jumping around too, but that saddens me. Because guess what? Sean came up to me and he said, Pastor John, and this is not against you, Sean, I love you, okay, so much. He's like, I've never experienced a miracle. I said, what are you talking about, dude? I call him dude, you know. I said, what are you talking about, dude? Didn't you see Marty Lee? Remember when she was jumping around? Remember how she got a medical examination? Like, God did a miracle here. So you've experienced a miracle. It doesn't have to be in your own body. I didn't raise that guy from the dead. In truth, even though I was laying hands on the boy that was healed of asthma, I didn't do the healing. Guess what? Neither did my evangelist friend. He had faith. He had a word of knowledge. I need to go pray for this man, this boy. And he needed to hear, I'd fire my throat. You know, like God moved, right? And we were the vehicles, right? Guys, when God does miracles here, don't keep quiet. God doesn't like it. Pastor John's getting a little today, all right? Maybe I didn't, you know, like, stop eating those blueberry muffins. But I'm telling you, if God did a miracle in this church, don't keep it a secret. You know what the best kept secret that you have in your life is? Jesus Christ, that was raised from the dead, changed your life, transformed you, made you a new person, brought new life to you. And guess what? Have you kept it a secret? If you have, you shouldn't. Because that's the greatest healing of all. That healing has eternal ramifications. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to ease up a little bit. All right. Ease up. I'm a Christian. Now I'll sing. All right. Moses, he says, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you? Now, he's not saying there's other gods, but he's saying all the other countries around us talk about other gods. They worship the god of Molech. They worship the god of this. They worship the god of that. They bow down to these idols. And he said, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched your right hand. The earth swallowed them. Speaking of Pharaoh's army pursuing them in the Red Sea. So he sang the song right after they passed through the Red Sea. He's belting this out. Oh, no, just he probably could sing a tune, okay? And then, you have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Here he is. Here he is. He's singing this song out to God. And Moses was singing his life song. He was belting it out for everybody to hear. Moses and the whole Jewish community have experienced God's redemption. They've experienced his salvation. I mean, just imagine it for a moment. Put yourself in that place. You see waters more higher than your head. You see God blow back the whole Red Sea. And then you have a population of what? It was close to 1 million? Pass by. And I'm not talking, they weren't sprinting across, right? You had granny that was taking one step at a time. Oh, hold on, sweetie, I'm coming. Hey, don't. I know God's holding back the sea, but I'll be there soon. Granny, we don't know when this is going to collapse. Okay, can you get over here? No, but they all go through. Think about just, have you ever been at the airport? And how crowded that is, right? It takes time to go through the airport. You're like, oh, this line. Imagine 1 million people, right? Now, you got a good span. God created it for a good span. But they're just going across. I mean, I'd be almost like, what? Like, it would be full of, like, awe, shock, and, ah! Moses will forever have that in his heart and mind. And I don't care if it's been 20 years or 40 years or a year, he'll belt out that song, right? What has God done in your life? Maybe a year ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 40 years ago. And wow, he did something pretty awesome. He did something pretty awesome. And it's worth singing about. And it's worth getting loud about. And it's worth telling the lost about. And it's worth telling other Christians about that maybe don't believe in miracles and don't believe in healing, and specifically God using you, Joe Schmo, for healing. You're not a pastor. You're not a priest. What are you doing? Praying for this person for miraculous healing. And then believing God can use the gifts for you? That's mumbo jumbo. That's weird. That's abnormal. Guess what? We're not supposed to be normal. Jesus said you're going to be in this world, but don't be of the world, right? He said to be light on the city on a hill, right? We're not supposed to look like the darkness, right? We're supposed to look like the light. And that's such an awesome thing. And I know sometimes it can seem different, and it can seem, you know, especially when we're first sharing the song. Have you ever sang before in front of somebody and you were nervous, right? Whether that's at school or whatever, you know, and you go to sing. Because, listen, it's your first time doing it, right? But as you practice and practice, and you're in a choir, you can kind of stand behind somebody. You can do one of these jobs as you're singing, too. You can get a little knees down, right? Get under the other person. But, you know, God wants you to sing your life song. He will. Moses, in his prophetic song, not only rejoices over the current miracle, but prophesies the coming joy of his people being planted on God's holy mountain, and there the Lord will reign forever and ever. Okay? Let me go to that. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. So what I love about Moses, he is a prophet. Because Moses doesn't just rejoice here in this miracle. Isn't it neat to like rejoice in the miracle that's happened to you? But not only that, but he speaks prophetically in what's going to happen to God's people, that they're going to be on the mountain of God where the Lord will reign forever and ever. Guess what? That hasn't happened yet. But it's going to. And with the same faith that he raises up his hands and declares that this Red Sea will be parted, the same faith he declares that my God will reign forever and ever. And I think sometimes we're opposite. I can tell you all day long that God will reign forever and ever. But can I tell you right now that God's going to move in your situation? Can I tell you right now that God is going to pour out his miracles and his power? Sometimes we get a little scared of that. Because, right, God wants to move right now too. He doesn't want to just move in the forever. He will, and that's incredible, but he wants to move even in your own circumstance right now. As a Christian, expect God to do miracles. We're a Pentecostal church, aren't we? What does that mean? It means that we believe in miracles are for today. We believe healing is for today. And we believe that God can use all of us. So even if you haven't experienced a miracle yet, which by the way, like I said, if you were in here, you experienced the miracle that I just mentioned before, you have experienced the miracle of salvation, right? You've experienced, I know you guys, you've experienced redemption. Your life has been bought back. You and I live in a pretty sweet era. We live in an era where Jesus came to earth. We live post-resurrection. We live post the day when he poured out his spirit on all flesh. Jesus turns to his disciples in Luke 10:23, and he said, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and didn't see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Moses didn't get to see, right? At the time that he was living, he did not get to see what's happening right here, the salvation. All this awesome stuff going on, right? Moses longed to see King Jesus coming and setting up his kingdom. He longed to see God in the flesh. Remember when Moses wanted to see God in the flesh? I want us to read that. He says right here, he says, "Please, God, show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I show mercy." Remember, he's king. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The disciples got to see his face. They got to see, they got to touch him, they got to see him. They lived with him for 3 years. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? And although Isaiah didn't get to see what we see or be in the time after Christ's salvation, he would say this in his song, "Oh Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure." Then he goes down to verse 4. "For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place." And in the same chapter, Isaiah, he writes, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food." "A feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up this mountain, the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever." And this is why I capitalize here. if you'll follow there. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and this reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah wouldn't live to see that salvation. He wouldn't live to see the days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we're still in that era today. We are in the democratization of the Holy Spirit era, where he pours out not just on individuals like you see in the Old Testament, he pours out on all flesh, your sons, your daughters, your young men, all of that. Joel 2:28. Right? You're a Christian. Now it's time to receive the gifts that God wants to pour out on you in 2020. You're a Christian. But guess what? If I go like this, I go to, you know, a simple Christmas. We just had Christmas, right? And this whole idea that, imagine me trying to give my kids, my dad got my kids each one a scooter. Imagine if they said, no, Grandpa, I don't want it. I'm too good for your gifts, Grandpa. My dad would be like, all right, never mind. I'm done. Well, here, I'll open it first and show you what you just lost. And he's hoping that they'll repent, they'll get sad. No, Grandpa, Dad, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Right? But imagine if they just said, no, Grandpa, I don't want your gifts. Right? I think sometimes we don't mean to, but I think if we're not intentional to go, God, I want to receive the gifts that you have. I want to be used by you. I want to do the job that you have me to do. I think sometimes we can miss the gift that he's given us. He wants to give us a brand new scooter, right? I know I can't see you guys riding scooters, okay? But maybe some. But, you know, God wants to give you that gift. And the question is, do I want to receive it? And so that's our heart today, is to have hearts of preparation to receive what God has for us. Because truly that gift is not just for me, right? Like I prayed, that gift is for... it's for Mitchell, South Dakota. It's for people that surround us. It's to bless the nations, right? Because we not only bless Mitchell, we bless South Dakota, we bless the nations with our missions giving and everything that we do. Isaiah sings a hymn, a song like Moses sang. It's Isaiah's song of joyful praise. Those who truly believe that God will act and bring his plans in history to fruition. Do you want to be one of those people? I want to be one of those people. That bring the plans of God into fruition. Right? And what does that take? It takes eyes of faith. The downfall of the enemies of God's people have already happened, okay? And so I don't want to just look at Isaiah 25 and just go, oh, wasn't it great that he sang a song? Because what's interesting is you can sing a song of faith or you can sing a song of gloom and doom. Ever been by those kind of people? Man, things are just going, it's rough. Things are horrible. And I just cracked a nail. No, I'm just joking. It's more serious than that. It's much more serious. But the world, brokenness happens in our world, right? And so the setting of this song, the setting of Isaiah saying that, again, all these positive things are going to happen to Israel, right? The poor that he's talking about right there, by the way, is Jerusalem. Because Sennacherib, who is from the Assyrians, has already taken out northern Israel, and he's coming to take out Judah, right? Not my son. But he's coming to take out Judah, the whole land, southern kingdom, right? And so he comes there, and when he comes there, he wants to intimidate, right? And so he begins saying, at the walls of Jerusalem, they're creating a siege, they're getting really scared, there's a ton of troops, okay? Thousands upon thousands of troops. And so normally when you go to talk to somebody and you're trying to talk to people that will then talk to the king, you may talk in your own language and they'll have interpreters, right? And they start talking in Hebrew and they say, do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying the Lord will surely deliver us. Then this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. And they'll actually say to him, stop talking in Hebrew. You're scaring the people. And they're kind of like, no, the people need to hear, right? We hear this on Facebook, social media, and everywhere on the news, right? The people need to know my rantings. The people need to know how upset I am and how angry I am at everybody and everything, right? And so they use this and they say, no, then each one of you, and this is the promises that the enemy gives. You know, if you won't have faith and you'll just be peaceful and you don't make too much noise and you just come out and make peace with me, this is what I'm going to do. He says, then each of you will eat of his own vine and each of his own fig tree and each of you will drink water of his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land, sorry, misspelling, like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. And do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you by saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations ever delivered his land, out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He basically says, don't listen to the lies of Hezekiah having faith that God's going to deliver you. Isn't it just easier to just lay down and just, and listen, you're not going to be in Jerusalem anymore, but I've got an even better land for you. You know, your wife or your husband, they're getting old and cranky. I've got a better one. You should just divorce them, leave them, and go for somebody else. Or, you know what, God's like, hey, you know, you should go this way. No. I got something better. We should do this. We should do that. Now, a lot of times, guys, what I'm trying to bring up is when God is holding us to a standard of commitment, of standing in faith, right, that the enemy will try to lure us over here, and he makes over here look really great, right? The grass is always greener over here, right? And so rather than that, stay where you are. Stay committed. Stay in the promises of God. Stay and believe God for great things in your family. Believe God for great things in what he's doing in and through your life. And so Hezekiah, when he gets all this news, he gets this big letter from Sennacherib, he will roll it out on the altar and he'll pray. He'll roll it out and he'll pray. And he says, God, you've heard these words. You've heard these things. And then Isaiah comes and he says, I have a prophetic word for you. Why is it important that me and you work in the prophetic and we move in words of knowledge and we move in gifts of wisdom? Because guess what? The church needs it, right? And the world needs it, right? Because guess what? Who answered Hezekiah in this passage? Was it a booming voice? No. To Hezekiah, it was a prophet that said, hear the word of the Lord. Did you know that God could actually use other people to speak into your life? Right? God uses his word, but then he can use other people that are gifted, and they can speak words of encouragement to you. Right? And so God brings Isaiah, and he says to him in Isaiah, he said, 2 Kings, I've got to go to it here. 2 Kings 18, 30 to 33. Then each of you, oh, sorry, I might not have it up here. I apologize. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. That's what the enemy says, right? And so Isaiah answers back. Isaiah, after this prayer, Isaiah is going to give words of encouragement. Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the servant of the king of Assyria have reviled me. God saying, you reviled me, Sennacherib. You didn't just attack my kid. You've attacked me. Right? You've attacked me. Reviled me. Okay? Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege or mount against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return. And he shall not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend the city, declares the Lord, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And it says, and that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. God did a miracle. They didn't even have to get out there and fight for themselves. God fought for them. Now, are there times in the Bible where the Israelites have to fight to win the promised land? Right? There are. There are times where we have to go and fight for what God's going to give us. But this time, God does such a miracle that blows them away. And Isaiah, he tells this is going to take place. And Hezekiah leans into the Lord and believes him, right? Isaiah sings a song. He sings a song in Isaiah 25 about this situation. He sings a song. My question to you is, what song are you going to sing? What song are you going to sing? The song sounds like the grass is greener on the other side when you don't serve the Lord. Are you going to sing that song? This song sounds like if you give up on God's promises and give up on God's salvation, you'll have a better life, an easier life. I was a part of a really awesome organization called Teen Mania Ministries, and there's two groups that are online on Facebook, and one is called Thankful Alumni, and the other one is just called HA Alumni. And the HA Alumni is full of people not only that aren't Christians anymore, but like that hate Teen Mania and hate Ron Luce. And man, they totally see the ministry that we did in different light and different eyes. And some of them said, you know what, I find it easier now. I find it, my life is easier. I don't have to worry about obeying some rules. I don't have to worry about doing this, doing that. I just do whatever I want. I actually feel really at peace. And I feel so sad for them. Because they have left walking as a Christian. And guess what? The grass is greener sometimes, right? To leave Christianity, to walk out on the church, it's easy to do. To stay is sometimes hard. Actually, again, get under accountability and get in a place of growth and get discipled and spiritually exercise our faith. That's tough stuff. But guess what? That's the best for you. This is the best place to be. And although it may seem like for a period of time, like Joe Schmo's life is easier. I keep on using Joe Schmo. Billy Ray Cyrus? I don't know, whatever. You know, it may seem like, you know, that person's life is easier. But so going back to the song that you're going to sing, what kind of song are you going to sing? My friend Brian, who was with me sharing the gospel at Dakota Fest, the same friend who reached out to Miles and to Kim and to Haven, who have attended our church and Kim last week was in children's ministry, helping with the children there. The same friend with his children would invite kids from their neighborhood to church Wednesday night. I remember actually when we got done with Dakota Fest, he took his staff home with a wordless book, and his kids went around to the neighbors sharing. That's awesome. That's awesome. This same friend who has helped us welcome his wonderful wife, Summer, and their four children, their four beautiful children. This same friend told me he only listens to Christian music now. He listened to some pretty rough stuff before. I remember riding in his car, and he wanted me to listen to Black Eyed Peas. And it was the summer. It was the summer. We had the windows rolled down, and it was like, boom, thumping the music, and I'll tell you, I felt like a thug, okay? And this same guy says, Pastor, all I will listen to is Christian music. I've got the message radio station on my phone, and when I'm trucking, that's all I'm listening to. You know, and me and Brian talk through, you know, there's a difference, and he echoed this, there's a difference when you grow up and whether it's your parents or whoever it is, and they say, you must be a Christian. You must be a Christian. You must do this. You must do that. What do we want to do? What's the natural inclination that we do? We want to rebel from that, right? I don't want to do that. I don't want anything to do that. But when we catch who Jesus really is, it's insatiable, right? There's a fire set inside of us, and I want to. I didn't tell Brian, you know, Brian, now that you're a Christian, I mean, a really strong Christian now. You need to give up all secular music. You need to wear a suit and a tie. You need to drive a nicer car. You need to, stupid things that Christians put, right? As like, this is what you look like to be holy. But guess what? Brian said, God, I just want all of you. And so every thought that goes into my head, everything that I'm thinking about, that's why I'm constantly pumping Christian music into my heart and mind. Because that's where I get renewed. And so my question to you is this. Are you listening to the songs of Moses declaring the steadfast love of God? Are you hearing him belt out praise to the God? Are you belting out praise to God that his very nostrils blow out with wind that holds the waves back? I'm not saying you should pray that out, but that's what Moses prayed out, right? That God's very nostrils blew the wind to hold back those waves. This was Moses belting out a song of worship to God. Are you listening to the hymn of Isaiah where he sings of the beautiful time that's coming when Christ will swallow up death forever? And I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning. Hear me out. I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning. I'm talking about Wednesday. I'm talking about Friday. I'm talking about Tuesday night. What is going through your head, right? And what is going into your heart? What's going in? This is not a, you must. This is a, hey, you know what? I want to be listening to the songs of God. I want to get this stuff inside of me because it is life, it is love, and it is transformation of my life and everybody that I touch, everybody that I influence, everybody that I reach. God wants us singing songs of victory. He wants us singing songs of victory. So worship team, at this time, could you come forward? And we're going to sing a song of victory. And I'd like everybody, would you stand at this time? You know, Isaiah talks about a time where there is a banquet, this delicious banqueting table where we will come to the Lord and we will get to feast with him. And my challenge to you is, again, let that fuel us, the time that is coming. And would you hit those back lights for me, Holly, too? And the reason why we have the lights off, guys, is so we don't get distracted by somebody else. And that we just look to heaven, we seek him, right? And we're hungry for him. We're hungry for what God has for us. And so we're going to sing this song of worship. And then we're going to begin to pray. And just as I shared this morning, I encourage you to come on up and come to the front. And we're going to anoint you in oil. And we're going to ask the Lord that he would pour out on you. Yes, for you personally, if you have a need, and that's great and wonderful to come up for that. But if you just want to be used in the different gifts that God has for you, and you want to say, in 2020, I want the Holy Spirit to pour in and through me. And so let's sing. We're not, whatever song here, I'm not saying it's the life song, but what I'm sharing with you is let's belt out our life song to him. Amen? Let's worship.